Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
I was walking with my wife just the other day. It was a nice day. My wife has been riding bikes and walking trails and doing a whole lot more than I have been when it comes to doing those kind of things. And so it was a nice day, and I decided that I would go and walk with her. And she took me to a trail that I had never been on before. And it's one of these rails to trails kind of things. And it was beautiful. I'd never been there before. The weather was just a tad cool, and it was closer to evening than it was noon. And some of you may know this, but not everybody, but I have a bad back. And when I get up here and I walk like an old man, it's because my back is bad. And sometimes it doesn't cooperate with me like I would like for it to. So my wife, who had been walking a little bit longer than I had been, was walking at a much faster pace than I was. And my back wouldn't allow me to walk with her. At least that's what I'm telling people. And it's not that I was out of shape. It's just that my back wouldn't let me walk with her. But anyhow, my wife was way, way ahead of me, and she says, "Are you coming, Slowpoke?" I said, "Just go on without me. I'm enjoying the walk without you." And so she kept walking, and I was walking, and I was just looking. Really, I was thinking, what am I going to preach Sunday? That's what I was thinking. I've kind of taken a detour from the life of David until we can get everybody back, and maybe we'll start that track up again, but God really hadn't laid anything upon my heart what to preach. And so I was just walking, and I was just looking, and I was talking to God a little bit, and I said, "Now, Lord, I don't know exactly what's going on in this world, but you do, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to preach Sunday, so how in the world am I supposed to know what's going on in the world?" And I was just talking to him. We were just having a one-sided conversation, and he was speaking through nature, I suppose. He wasn't whispering in the wind, but I was just looking at nature and marveling at what he had done and how beautiful life was, really. Even in a cursed, stricken world, it's pretty beautiful. Can you imagine what the Garden of Eden was like before cursed, stricken world? If it's as beautiful with a curse, how much more beautiful was it without one? Well, we'll see it one day. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. But it was a beautiful day. And as I was walking, I was meditating on what I should preach. And I was walking by the river. And I noticed the trees. Some of the trees were old. Some a little younger. Some just sprouting. Some trees were leaning strangely. Others were standing tall. Some of the trees were old, some of them were younger, others were dying. There were several trees that the wind had finally blown over, and they lay there untouched. It reminded me, and I love this verse, it reminded me of the verse that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. Listen to this. I love the wisdom of Solomon, and I love this verse. It's just so practical. Listen. "If the clouds be full of rain, they'll empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, and the place where the tree felleth, there it shall be." It's pretty good. Good job, Solomon. Wherever that tree falls, that's where it's going to be. And I was just looking at these trees that had fallen, and Solomon fulfilled that prophecy because there they lay, and there they shall be. But anyway, I was noticing trees. And of course, the first passage of Scripture that came to my mind about trees was Psalm 1, verse 3. "And there shall be a and we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the tree that was planted by the rivers of water, I was thinking about those trees, and I was looking at the river, and that verse came to my head, and I thought, those trees that are closer to the river may be a little bit stronger than trees that are farther away from the river. Now, if you study that passage of Scripture out, you understand that where David was, the trees that were in the desert place were stronger by the river. The farther you got away from the main body of river, the weaker the trees got. And he was telling us, we'll be like a tree planted by the river. And what he was saying is, if you and I trust the Lord and we follow the Lord, we'll be the strongest of trees. We'll be planted by the rivers of water. And then it talks about bringing forth its fruit in its season. I think that's great. Well, my mind was wandering, and I came back to my office, and I started searching trees in the Bible. And there are a lot of trees in the Bible. There are different type of trees. There's only one nation that trees are talked about. There's only one nation that describe trees, and that's the cedars of Lebanon. Lebanon's the only nation that trees are mentioned. What kind? Now, there are a lot of trees mentioned, like fig trees, palm trees, this tree, that tree, but when it refers to a certain type of tree, the nation of Lebanon has that distinct privilege. So this morning I want to talk about the trees. And as I begin to ponder these trees, the Lord allowed me to think about life-giving trees. My mind went to the tree of life. So this morning I want to talk about life-giving trees. Now, life-giving trees are important. Think about what the Bible says about bad trees or trees that don't do what they should be doing. You could study Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, 7, chapter 12. You would see that bad trees are cursed. Remember the fig tree that God cursed and it withered because it wasn't producing fruit? It was a bad tree. God cursed it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down." So a tree that doesn't bring forth fruit is cut down. A tree that didn't bring forth fruit, God cursed. God considered a tree in Matthew chapter 7 that didn't bring forth fruit a corrupt tree. Matthew 7:19, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, "Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt." So if the tree is good, it'll bring forth good fruit. If the tree is bad, it'll bring forth corrupt fruit. Trees that aren't doing what they should be doing are not doing what they should be doing. And when a tree is considered no good, it's cursed or cut down. It's considered corrupt, but not a life-giving tree. No, a life-giving tree is important. When one thinks of a tree of life, we automatically think of the Garden of Eden. A tree that if you ate of the fruits, you would continually live. That's why it was the tree of life. That's why after God, the tree of life wasn't so that they couldn't touch it. There was only one tree that they couldn't touch. And that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of the tree of life. Why could they eat of the tree of life? Because the life was sustaining life. They ate of that tree and they continually lived. But when they ate of the cursed tree, that tree of life was taken out, the Bible says, and so that the man would not live forever, the tree of life was taken out. And therefore, they began to die. They spiritually died immediately, and then they physically died later on down the road. But we think of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden when we think of the tree of life. I like what one commentator said, "By eating the fruits of which all the waste of nature might have been continually repaired so as to prevent death forever." So that tree of life, that's what that tree of life did. So basically, a tree of life is just that, a tree that gives life. And the Bible gives us five of them that I want to specifically talk about this morning. So this morning, I'm going to talk about life-giving trees. And I hope that you and I are one. So let's pray. Lord, I need you. I pray that you'll help me this morning, guide me, direct me. I'm definitely not worthy to be standing here. I'm definitely not worthy to be called into the ministry, but I'm thankful for your calling. And Father, although I fall short in many ways, I pray that you'll forgive me of my transgressions. And Father, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit. And Father, I want your power. I want you to use me. I want to be a vessel. I want to be an empty riverbed, and you be the river. I want to be a clay pot, and you be the treasure. And so, Father, I'm asking you to help me this morning, use me this morning, rather. And I pray that if there's anyone that may not know you as their Savior, that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. We love you. Thank you for all that you're going to do, all that you've already done. Thank you for the peace that you give in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. I just thought of this. Can you tell me the only time in Scripture where it tells us that Jesus was asleep? There's one time in Scripture, just once, when he was in the boat in the midst of the storm. The only time in Scripture where Jesus tells us that he was asleep was when he was in the midst of a storm. It doesn't make sense to be able to sleep in a storm like that. It doesn't make sense. It was uncomfortable. I wonder why Jesus gave us one passage of Scripture where he is found asleep, and the only passage of Scripture where he is found asleep is in the midst of a terrible, horrific storm. And then he rebukes the disciples for not having faith. When he goes out to the bow and says, "Peace, be still." And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Just something to think about. So if you can't sleep in this storm, it's because you're not resting with the Master. Jesus wanted to remind us that he sleeps. He has perfect peace in no matter what storm there is in life. This is nothing to God, so you can rest assured that you can rest assured. Okay? Free. That wasn't any part of the sermon. I'll charge you later. All right. So, let's talk about life-giving trees, or trees of life. Let's talk about the first one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. We're talking about wisdom now. Length of day is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The first tree of life, or life-giving tree, is wisdom. Wisdom. If you and I can obtain wisdom, the Bible describes wisdom as a tree of life. Not only is it a tree of life, but it provides much happiness. I want to keep reminding you all that God wants us to be happy. Happiness is not something that God wants to be eluded. It is something that he wants us to be. So how can we be happy? Well, there are probably many of passages of Scripture that help us with this. Psalm chapter 1, blessed or happy is the man, is a chapter that really tells us how you can be happy. And it's a particular passage of Scripture that I like to point people to. But in this particular passage, it tells us that if we find wisdom, it will provide happiness. And in verse 18, it tells us that wisdom is a tree of life, a life-giving quality. Do you have wisdom? If you have wisdom, it's like a tree of life. It's a life-giving quality. Do you have wisdom? The Bible tells us that the beginning of wisdom, according to Psalm 111, verse 10, that fear or respect is the beginning of wisdom. It starts with knowing who God is and what He can do. Faith and trust go hand in hand with that as well. So respecting God is the beginning of wisdom, and having wisdom is a tree of life or a life-giving attribute. So do you have wisdom this morning? Do you trust Him? Number one, you need to know Him in order to have wisdom. Number two, you need to respect Him. Do you respect God? How can I respect God? Trusting Him and obeying Him. We even sing a song, I believe. It's called Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy. I know this isn't a Bible verse, but it's biblically based. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. You want to respect the Lord? You want to show respect to the Lord? You trust Him. You obey Him. I can tell you this, that a person that is not trusting the Lord during this time isn't wise. And if you're not trusting the Lord in this time and you are not wise, it is not a life-giving tree. It is not a tree that continually gives life. Wisdom will. Respecting the Lord will. It doesn't say the beginning of wisdom is to fear the government. It doesn't say the beginning of wisdom is to fear the news. It says the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. The word fear means to respect Him. Do you trust Him? There have been times in my life where I've had to fight anxiety. I've had what people would call panic attacks. The very first panic attack I had was when we were shooting a film at Mount Pisgah. We were doing a drama called Plenty of Time. The church staff wrote the drama. The church acted it, videotaped it, did the whole thing. And it was a pretty powerful drama. But there was a scene that I was in, and I happened to die in the drama, in the play. The film. And to make it realistic, they had helicopters. I mean, they had helicopters. They took a car out of a junkyard. They put the car in the woods upside down, or however they did. They crashed. They threw that thing in the woods, and they even went and got chicken livers and gizzards and stuff, cow, whatever. And so they really made it. They were really going all the nine yards to make this thing look real. And I was dead. I was laying in the middle of the blacktop. I was the driver of the car. No, I wouldn't. I was in the car, and I was thrown from the car, and I died. If I was driving, I wouldn't have died. I would have wrecked. I'm just kidding. My wife was driving at that time. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, I was dead. And so to make it realistic, we had the police there, the ambulances there. And what do you do with a dead body? Well, I didn't know what you did with a dead body because I'd never messed with it, but what you do with a dead body is you wrap it up in a sheet. And then you place it in a body bag. Did you know that they don't put zipper handles inside a body bag? Did you know that? I mean, there's really no reason for it, I suppose, because the dead body usually doesn't unzip himself and get out. So now I'm wrapped up, and we were shooting this in the middle of summer. The asphalt has got to be 110 degrees. I'm wrapped up in a sheet. And I have this crazy thought that goes through my mind after they put me in this body bag, wrapped up like a mummy, in a body bag, and I thought, if those guys wanted to play a mean trick on me, they could all go to lunch right now and just leave me laying here. And for some reason, all of a sudden, panic set in. And I wigged out. I mean, there was an immediate, I wouldn't have had a problem if I'd had a knife in my hand because I knew I could just get out. I said, I'll just tear your stuff up. I don't care. But I couldn't. I didn't have a knife. And I started thinking, man, they're going to leave me in here forever. And it was probably like 30 seconds. You know, dead people don't breathe either, so you can't. So I'm having to hold my breath while we're shooting this. I mean, it's a whole mess. So I had a panic attack. I had a real legitimate panic attack. Get me out, trying to catch my breath, trying to come back down to earth. The second panic attack I had was I was flying to Lebanon on a mission trip. The airplane caved in. I started breaking, and I could not control it. I wanted to control it. I couldn't control it. Then I had another one. And so when panic attacks set in, I know how hard that they are to control. It's not that I don't trust anything. It's just all of a sudden I've got this overwhelming sense of something that I can't. And you that have had panic attacks know exactly what I'm talking about. And what I'm trying to say is I'm not making light of anybody that's having a panic attack about this, because you necessarily can't control that. And some people are getting anxious. I'm claustrophobic. If you put me in a tight spot, buddy, we got problems. And my phobia is no different than your phobias, and some people are really having a hard time with this. So I don't want to make this light. I just want to remind you that you can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord through this. I may not be able to trust my friends, although I could. I may not be able to trust my friends that put me in a body bag, but I can trust the Lord. I may not be able to trust the people of Lebanon, although I can, but I can trust the Lord. I may not be able to trust the pilot in the airplane, but I can trust the Lord. And you may not be able to trust the government or the medical facilities or the Fox News or the CNNs or politicians. You may not be able to trust anybody, but you can trust the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you need to trust and obey Him in order to show respect to Him. Do you? You can. I'm thankful that God has just whispered peace in my heart about all this. I really am not anxious about this at all. Now, if I start getting away from thinking about the things of God and start trying to fix this problem myself, I find myself getting a little anxious. So I step back, say, I can't fix it. I just keep back. I'm going to look back up there. And that's where we need to look. Look to Him. So wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. I want you to know that. The second life-giving tree is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is what? A tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I try to make everything start with the same letter. So the first one is wisdom. Life-giving quality. Wisdom. If you have wisdom, it's a life-giving quality. Number two, witnessing, is a life-giving quality. This verse to me speaks that a tree of life is compared to witnessing. A person that works at winning a soul. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous, the fruit that a saved person produces. What are we producing? The only thing that you and I can take to heaven with us is family and friends. You can't take the suit, you can't take the gold in your teeth, you can't take your sneakers, you can't take your hair, you can't take your glasses. The only thing that you can take is other people. You can't take your pacemaker, you can't take your cancer. The only thing that you can take is your family and friends. The only people that I can take to heaven is my children, my grandchildren someday. My friends and family, my neighbors, my enemies, those I can take to heaven with me, but I can't take anything to heaven except for those people. A person that is working and winning souls, that's what we're producing, the fruit of the righteous, that's fruit. We obviously, witnessing is one of those fruits. Certainly telling someone about the one who gives life is life-giving. Telling people how one can know Jesus, how to have eternal life, this is certainly life-giving. And if you don't know Him today, please put your faith and trust in Him. He loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that He wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. Get saved. Put your faith and trust in Him and do it today. It reminds me of Jesus going to the well and the Samaritan woman's there. And Jesus says, give me some water. And she says, you're asking me, a Samaritan, you being a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you water? And he looked at her and says, if you only understood who I was, I wouldn't be asking you for water. You'd be asking me to give you water, and the water that I would give would be everlasting water. You would never thirst again. You talk about being a life-giving tree, you're going to be a witness. You're going to be a soul winner. You're going to give someone not something that will last just until this life is over, but this life will last for all eternity because the one who gives life is life-giving. The third quality of being a tree of life is when our expectations come. So W starts with when our expectations come. You'll find that in Psalm or Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. The word hope means expectation. Expectations that don't come make your heart sick. Right? You go to the doctor. Probably one of the cruelest things that we do as, not we, but they have happened to us in medical fields, are when you go and get a scan for something that's important, right? You go to the doctor sees something that he doesn't like, so he's going to take a scan or an x-ray of your chest or whatever. And now what? You wait. It would be okay if they went back there, looked at it immediately and said, we've looked at it, it looks like it's okay or it looks like it's bad. But no, you go home. We'll call you when the results come in. One day, 2 days, 2 weeks. And for 2 weeks, you're sick to your stomach. Expectations deferred makes the heart sick. The Bible says expectation or hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. This verse tells us that a tree of life is compared to when our expectations come, which brings much joy. When our desire is brought forth, it is like a tree of life, a living tree, that you can't wait to taste of its fruit. You can't wait to partake in its supply. The promises of God gives us great expectation. When the promises that he has given us are fulfilled, then it is a tree of life. And when God gives us desires and our godly desires are met, that is life-giving. Kind of recharges your batteries. Kind of gives you a little more oomph, a little more get up and go. Right now, I believe that if you're stuck at home and you can't get out and you find yourself a little down, you find yourself a little trapped. You find yourself watching the walls cave in. You need to remember all the time that God fulfills his promises in your life. You need to go back and you need to think about all the times that you've gone to God with a concern or a worry that made your heart sick, that the promises didn't come, and then God met your needs. God fulfilled his promises in your life. You need to go back and you need to remind yourself of those times, because right now I want you to know in a couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever the time frame is, we'll be able to look back and we'll see our hope come, and it'll be life-giving. This is why I encourage you to keep a journal, men. Keep a diary, ladies, of the promises that God has fulfilled in your life. I tell people that I have that journal downstairs. I don't write in it often. I write in it about once or twice a year sometimes when it kind of comes to my brain to do so. But when I first started that journal, I was going through a very, 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 very dark storm in my life. The darkest of storms, ministerially speaking. And I decided to keep a journal, and I started writing down things that God, and I can go back and I can look at March 1998. And I can read what I was doing that day, and I can say, hey, God got me through that. He's always gotten me through that. Everything that I worried about back then never came to fruition. You can trust him. You need to remind yourselves right now of the promises that God has given. There will be a day this will all end, and your great expectation will come, and it'll give you new life, or at least I hope it does. I'm thinking about the first Sunday where everybody's back. I mean, when everybody's back. Not filtering back in. I'm talking about everybody's like, that is past. Here we go. I'm thinking about that first Sunday. This place should be packed. The singing should be off the chart. You should not be able to hear me sing. And you can hear me sing, I know. I got a big mouth. But I learned a long time ago, I'm just going to sing to the Lord, and I'm going to sing as loud as I can. And if you don't want to hear me, sing louder. You shouldn't be able to hear me when that day comes. There should be a new life because the expectation has come. That hope that the Lord's going to get us through this, that expectation that God's going to see us through this trial will come. Number four, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Now we see that the tree of life is compared to a wholesome tongue. This is something that I personally have had a problem with. My wife reminds me of it all the time. You know the worst thing about being a preacher or preaching a sermon is your wife reminds you of the sermons that you preach. And she does that often. And this is a weak area for me. I have a very sharp-tongued wit. And it's important to have a kind tongue. And my tongue is not always kind. The Bible says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's important that you and I speak life into people. The tongue is so dangerous. You can go and read it. Go and do your own study on the tongue about how it's poison and full of dead man's bones and how it destroys and how it tears down and how it can give life and how it can take life. Just this one little member. The Bible talks about it being able to take and give. It's talking about how dangerous it is. It can either tear down, it can build up. A wholesome tongue is like a tree of life, and we do need to speak life into people. We need to speak joy into people. We need to speak Jesus into people. My last point, and I'm done, is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 39. Wisdom, witnessing, when our expectations come, a wholesome tongue, and the last W, found in Acts 10:39. And we are witnesses of all things which he, Jesus, did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And you say, that doesn't say life-giving tree or tree of life. No. But he is the tree of life. And my final W is this, a wonderful Savior. I want us to remind us of the tree, the true tree of life, the one that is the one that gives us eternal life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the tree of life was removed out of the Garden of Eden, it was a tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that sent man into the world, sinners. But there is a tree of life that's called the cross that gave everyone new life. The old tree destroyed, the new tree, the cross, gave life. Jesus is the one that gives eternal life. He is the living bread. He is the living water. He is the living tree. You and I can go and eat of his fruit. You and I can go and partake of his bountiful supply. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if you're sitting here under the sound of my voice and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that you can go to him and you can partake of the fruit that he wants to give you. And it will give you not just life here on earth, but it will give you life for all eternity. He is a wonderful Savior, and he is the tree of life. He is who I want you to know if you don't know him. He is who I want you to trust when you do know him, but you remind yourself that you're afraid. You can trust in him. He is the living life. He is the living tree. And if you're saved, and I pray that you will write down the blessings of God that God has given you, that you'll remind yourself of the promises that he has fulfilled in your life so that you can realize that he is on the throne and that through all of this, he is in control. I want to encourage you to have wisdom. I want to encourage you to be a witness. I want to encourage you to realize your expectation, but I want to remind you of a wonderful Savior. Do you know Him today? If you don't know Him, you need to.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.